This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. It may very well go down in our history books as the trial of the century here in Honolulu. Today begins the extensive jury selection for the Kealoha trial. Honolulu Civil Beat's Nick Gruby is on the line with today's reality check. Morning, Nick.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us, you're down there at the Neil Blaisdell Center where more than 400 prospective jurors are being quizzed. What's it like?
Well, right now it is empty. Today the jurors, 413 prospective jurors actually, were in the Blaisdell Center's Pakake room, and they were filling out a questionnaire to see if they will be one of the 12 jurors selected to listen in on this trial and decide the fate of Lewis and Catherine Kealoha, as well as their three co-defendants, Derek Hahn, Gordon Chir Ishii, and Bobby Nguyen.
So what do you think we can expect? How soon will we see opening statements?
So that kind of depends on the jury selection process. So today we had 413 people fill out this questionnaire. And from there a bunch of copies are going to be made. All the lawyers in the case are going to comb through them and sort of narrow down that list of 413 people to about 40 or 45. From there, they're going to go through the traditional jury selection process in which they go to the courthouse and then they start questioning the prospective jurors. They'll strike a few from there, and then they'll argue over some, and then eventually we will get down to that magic number of 12. Of course, there will be a handful of alternates as well in case something does come up for one of those jurors. But they're looking to hopefully start that process this week, possibly as soon as Friday, and then the trial itself. They're aiming for that for opening statements to begin on May 22nd or possibly May 23rd.
So did the jurors just go down there, fill out the paperwork, and then leave, or are they still there?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. Like I said at the top of the segment, that I'm standing in an empty room. It's a bunch of empty chairs. And, they did turn the Blaisdell into a courtroom today. But it was actually kind of interesting. Judge Michael Seabright, who's presiding over the case, came out, and he was wearing his robes, but he was standing on a stage behind a dais rather than sitting on a courtroom bench addressing the jurors. In some ways, it felt more like a high school commencement where you had a bunch of people sitting there looking up at this judge, talking to them about the importance of being a juror, especially in a case that's as high profile as this one.
So this case is going to boil down to the theft of that mailbox, right? I mean, is this a far-fetched tale, or is it really fact? Was there a frame-up and a cover-up?
Right. I mean, so we have to remember that this case all started in June 2013 when the Kealohas said that their uncle, Catherine Kealoha's uncle, Gerard Puana, had stolen their mailbox. From there, the case sort of spun out into what is much larger than a mailbox theft, and it involves questions of whether the Kealohas had framed that uncle, Gerard Puana, for the theft of their mailbox. In addition, federal prosecutors say they found a lot of other evidence of criminal activity, whether it's police officers falsifying reports and lying to investigators, to allegations of financial crimes and financial fraud that the Kealohas are alleged to have been perpetrating. Of course, those financial charges are not included in this trial. This trial just focuses on the mailbox and whether the Kealohas and their co-defendants had framed Gerard Puana for the theft of that mailbox.
And I know there was some discussion about getting the testimony from Florence Puana because she was having some medical issues, and they said if she was fine and ready to go for trial that she would be allowed to proceed, but they wanted to have that backup of the tape.
Right. Florence Puana is 99 years old. She is Gerard Puana's mother, and one of the motivations behind this alleged frame-up, according to the prosecutors, is that Florence Puana and Gerard Puana were asking questions about a reverse mortgage deal that Catherine Kealoha had executed on their behalf. they said that she appeared to have taken a lot of the money from that deal and used it on herself. Now, Florence Puana, again, is 99 years old, and there were some concerns about her health and whether she would actually be available for the trial when it starts. And so they allowed her to do a video deposition just in case. Now, that doesn't mean she's not going to be a witness in this case. She could still come and testify live before the jury. But if not, if she's unavailable, at least they have that video of her answering questions to fall back on.
Right. But we haven't heard anything about her condition recently, have we?
At this point, I haven't heard any updates, but I have heard from others who are familiar with this case that the hope is she will still be able to testify.
Okay. Well, you're going to be down there at federal court for a long time.
I flew back from Washington, D.C. for it.
Yeah, and Catherine Kealoha is facing three trials.
She is. So she's on trial in this case for the alleged mailbox theft. The conspiracy surrounding the alleged mailbox theft. She faces a second trial along with her husband, Louis Kealoha, for the alleged financial crimes and bank fraud that that prosecutors say they were involved with. And she faces a third trial for drug-related charges in which prosecutors say she and her younger brother, Rudolph Puana, were running a prescription drug trafficking ring and that she was using her position as a city prosecutor to sort of hide that from authorities.
It is really an amazing sequence of events here, isn't it? All right. Well, thank you so much, Nick, and we'll be checking in with you regularly during the course of this trial.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. That was reporter Nick Gruby with today's Reality Check. To read his full story, visit sybilbeat.org.